Alright, when we last left our heroes, last week we were discussing, we're building up towards second mahalach, a second approach, in the three stages of the bracha, to kava shofar, sames, and kavatenu, to blow the shofar, to raise the banner, and then to gather us. So we discussed last week just the first two levels. We discussed the idea of tekava shofar, blowing the shofar, and sames, raising the banner, being the idea of tekia, the idea that you hear the kol shofar, the sound, the koach of shmiya, the faculty of hearing, and then the sa nes, the raising the banner, the nes harim nasu, that they'll raise a banner on the mountains, and harim tirov, and that people will see it, that the banner is for is the koach of re'iyah, the faculty of sight. And we discussed last week the call them the pros and cons of sight versus sound, or hearing, the faculty of seeing versus the faculty of hearing. And we discussed the idea that that seeing is something which is very clear, but its advantage is its disadvantage, so to speak, that seeing is the most direct, open experience. It only applies to that which is direct and open, that which is right in front of you, as opposed to hearing. As much as it's not as clear, it's not clear because it requires interpretation, it requires processing, that also enables hearing to be the faculty that is able to reach beyond what is right in front of you, reach beyond what is obvious, and to put together things that are not not exactly the way they are in front of you. Just as a way of somewhat segueing from last week into this week, I wanted to just add two points to that. One of them is really repeating something, but just I happened to be looking at something I had written previously and noticed that I had actually written about a Maharal, which really makes one of the points that we made last week, and I just wanted to mention that, which was one of the points we mentioned last week, was that Torah Shebichsav is likened to Re'iyah, is likened to sight. Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, comes through Nevuah, and a Navi is described as a Choze and a Roe, a seer and a visionary, someone with the Koach of Re'iyah. And the Maharal, in the very beginning, in his first Takdama to Gvuras Hashem, the Maharal raises this point in a discussion of a famous question to which there are many, many answers, but the Maharal discussing a question that why is it that the Torah does not have the description of Olam Haba in it? Why is Olam Haba not in the Torah Shebichsav? And the Maharal brings in this point and he says because the Torah Shebichsav is through Nevuah. Nevuah is only what can be grasped directly by the Navi. He has to have some shaykhus to it, some hasaga of it, some direct grasp of it, and that's why Nevuah is described as Re'iyah, as sight, because sight is only poel, it's only tofes, it only grasps that which is you know, directly within the realm of experience. And therefore, Olam Haba, which is beyond the realm of our experiences, just like you cannot describe color to a blind person, so you can't describe the spiritual experience of Olam Haba to physical beings who the realm of their experience is restricted to the physical. So the Nevuah is that type of a conduit of information is through what is there. He's a Roa, he's a Choza, is only that which is directly within the realm of his experience, and therefore the concept, the idea of Olam Haba could not be communicated in Torah Shebichsav, as opposed to the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Maharal says is the idea of Chacham Adif Minavi, that a Chacham through Chachma is able to transcend just what's purely within the realm of his experience, and that's the idea of the Torah Shebaal Peh is the Shmaitza, the Shmua, is the hearing. That's what you hear. That transcends what Re'iyah, what sight is limited to, and therefore the Chacham Adif Minavi, it's the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is in that way superior to the Torah Shebichsav. In that way, the Chacham is Adif, is better than the Navi, is able to grasp something which goes beyond. The Chacham does not have the definitive, unequivocal conclusion that the Torah Shebichsav has. The Torah Shebichsav says that Emes Mukhlat. The Torah Shebichsav, we believe that the Pirush, also the Rambam says in the Eighth Iker, that the Pirush of the Torah Shebichsav, of the Torah Shebichsav also came from Har Sinai. But we have, you know, we have Machlokas, we have interpretation in the Torah Shebichsav. As opposed to the Torah Shebichsav, it says what it says, and that's all, and that's what it is. And as much as it gives it that definitiveness, it also gives it that's restricted to what it is, as opposed to Torah Shebaal Peh is able to transcend, and that's why Torah Shebaal Peh is the Chacham Adav Minavi, is where we find the description of Olam Haba. So that point we made last week, I just wanted to bring that out in the way that the Maharal says it. I wanted to add one more idea, one more point of note onto our contrast between seeing and hearing, and which I think just fits very nicely, very smoothly into everything that we developed last week, which is that the process of seeing is something that takes place externally. When you see, it's, you know, the curvature of your eye, the curvature of your eye and the way the light is reflects and is received and is but basically seeing is a process that happens basically maybe it goes behind your eye to however far back your retina goes, but basically it's processed externally. It's a process that happens outside of yourself. It's an external process. As opposed to hearing, hearing happens internally. It happens inside your head. That the sound goes into your ears and then goes into your head, and it's processed inside. It's an internal process. If you get, you know, a wax, you can block the sound from getting into your ear canal from the outside, but that's just the point of access. It gets inside. If you have, you know, wax build up by your eardrum, so even though the sound gets in, it's still not processed, it still doesn't reach the destination, because it's inside your head is where the sound waves have to reach and then are processed. So this the same kind of thing, that seeing, it's a hasaga mibachot. It's an external, you're being impacted by something outside of you. It's an external process. It's there. It is what it is. It's what, something that's just outside of you, as opposed to hearing is mibifnim. Hearing is an internal process. It's a process of internalization, of processing the information yourself and coming to your own conclusion, which we discussed last week, that the process of hearing involves remembering all the sounds that you heard and then putting them together into a into a coherent thought. So that the process of Shmiah is the process of developing the information that you have into a coherent thought, putting everything together. That's something that happens internally. It's something that you're more connected to. And that is what the Torah Shebaal Peh is about. The Torah Shebaal Peh is the Bina of the Torah, is when you're Maven Davar Mitov Davar, you take the Torah Shebichsav and how you process it. And that's the, it's an internal process. It's how it becomes a part of you. And that's the Korach of Shmiah, the faculty of hearing, is this internal process, which much more is a part of you. So that we discussed last week is the idea of Tekah B'Shofar, is the idea of hearing, is we mentioned as those who, that they're on the level of hearing, that those who, they're on the lookout. Hearing is much more subtle. It's not as direct and overt. It's much less obvious. Those who are on the lookout for something, that you only notice it, you only be able to process it and put it together if you're looking for it, if you're out to detect it. But those people who interpret, internalize what they experience, they're able to see the deeper message. They're able to see that there's more going on here than meets the eye. And the tikkun b'shofar, that first level is enough for them. That's on the highest level is the level of tikkun b'shofar. The second level is the level of sanes, of raising the banners, for those who the subtle message is not enough. They're not on the lookout, so to speak, for geula, and they don't see the signs that you see when you're only on the lookout for them, and therefore they have the re'iyah, the open and obvious revelation of geula. They have the nace. Nace is something which, you know, a miracle violates the rules of nature. It's something which is a much more overt sign that something is going on here, and that's the level of re'iyah. So just to hold on to that for 1 minute, and you're going to try to just plug in what the third step is, but before that, I just want to develop the greater context here. Now, just to preface, the idea that we're going to put together now is very loosely based. The basic concept is based off of an idea that Rav Kook said in a Rosh Hashanah drasha. We're going to take it in a very different direction than the way he says it, but the basic concept that he says is that there are, in halacha, we find three levels of shofaros, three levels of shofars, and Rav Kook suggests that they correspond to three levels of geula. And so that's what he says. He suggests the three levels in a certain way. I want to take it a little bit different direction than the way he says it. Kidarko, he says more along a nationalistic kind of approach. I want to just, in the way that we're explaining it, Al-Derech HaMachshava, with to explain in our own way. But basically, in Shulchan Aruch, Narach Chaim, Tav Kuf Pei Vav, Sif Aleph. So, the Shulchan Aruch there says that you have the mitzvah min amuvchar, the best kind of shofar, which is the shofar that we all are zocha to use today in every shul. You'll find the shofar is the shofar shel ayil, is the horn of a ram, which is, it's kufuf, it's bent, it's twisted or it's curved, it's bent. That's the ideal type of shofar. That's the mitzvah min amuvchar. If you can't get a shofar shel ayil, then the second level, the shofar of any behemah tahora is kasher, whether it's kafaf or pashad, whether it's straight or it can even be a straight horn, but as long as it's from a behemah tahora, any behemah tahora, it's still kosher. And then the Mishnah Brura there brings, based really on the psak of the Ran, that Rabbeinu Nissim, one of the Rishonim, that if you have no other shofar, then you should still blow the shofar of a behemah tameah, of a non-kosher animal. You don't make a bracha on it, but you still blow the shofar of a behemah tameah, or a shofar that belongs to an idolater, that if you have no other shofar, you still blow that shofar. You don't make a bracha on it, but definitely you still, you know, with no other choice, you still blow that shofar. Now, the halachic lamdas, the halachic reasoning behind that is because there happens to be a machlokus whether or not the shofar of a behemah tameah is kosher or not. It might be pasul.
What about a behemah tameah? Is there
I don't know. Maybe a rhinoceros? Rhinoceroses have horns, right? Let's just go with a rhinoceros. I think rhinos have horns. Mr. Graff, do rhinos have horns?
Sure. Yeah. They kill rhinoceros when they...
That's right, right. So that... elephants have tusks. Those are... Maybe... I don't know if those qualify as horns or not. It's an interesting question. But in any case, so there's a machlokus in halacha. It's really disputed whether or not the horn of a behemoth may of a non-kosher animal is kosher, and therefore you don't use it if you have any other option. If you have no other option, use it because there is an opinion that it's kosher. You don't make a bracha because there is an opinion that it's not kosher, that even b'dieved it's no good. That's the halachic lamdus, but just al-derech ha-machshava. So you have these three levels of shofar. You have the shofar shel ayil, the mitzvah min ha-mufchar, is the bent shofar of the ram. Then you have the shofar of any behemoth tahora, any kosher animal, which even if it's straight, even if it's not bent. And then you have the shofar of a behemoth tameah, of a non-kosher animal, or the shofar of an idolater. Not a shofar that was used for idolatry. A shofar which is used for idolatry is for sure out. But the shofar which is owned by an idolater, or the shofar of a non-kosher animal, that if you have nothing else, you should blow that shofar. So, try and tie this in, these three levels of shofar, to the three levels of geula and the three steps of our bracha, and tie it into what we've been building so far. The highest level is the shofar gadol, right? This is the shofar gadol we discussed. The Pirkei de Eliezer says the shofar gadol is the shofar of the aisle of the Akedah. Right, the best level of shofar is that shofar gadol of the shofar shel ayil, from the ram, which calls to rally around Ratzon Hashem. That was the shofar of the Akedah West. What the shofar sha'ayel is, the shofar sha'ayel is meant to reference back to the, that's why we use the shofar sha'ayel, is to reference back, to hit, to herald back to the Akedah. And it's those who are listening, and those who know there is something sorely lacking in Gullus, and who are yearning and anxiously awaiting Geula, they will hear the call of the shofar. The shofar gadol, the ideal shofar, the shofar, the mitzvah min amufchar, is a shofar kafuf. It's a bent shofar. The Maharal in the Siva Avoda in Perek Yud, the 10th chapter, discusses the idea of kriya, of bowing, of bending over, is showing that you are mevatel yourself to something else. That's why we bow in Shemona Esrei. The Maharal explains why we bow at exactly the points when we do. Not going to get into that, but that the idea of bowing, the idea of bending over, is showing that you are mevatel yourself to the other. In the koach of Shmiah, the faculty of hearing, is often associated with leaning towards something. You bend towards, the pasuk describes, hat aznecha v'shma, that bend your ear and hear. The idea of hearing is there's a bending involved. It's a leaning in. You're going towards it. You're being mevatel yourself to that. That's what the koach of Shmiah represents. And hearing is a result of paying closer attention, of leaning in to listen. So the shofar gadol, which is operating on the level of Shmiah, the level of hearing, is for those who are bent, those who are mevatel themselves, those who see avodas Hashem and ratzon Hashem as the focal point of existence. So for them, there's the shofar gadol. You blow the shofar sha'ayel. The ideal level of geula is for those who are listening, is for those who are looking to have ratzon Hashem as the focal point of their existence. So those people, the shofar gadol is going to be where geula comes for them. It's the ideal way in which we would like the geula to come, is to bring it ourselves, that we're yearning and waiting for and working towards the geula. We realize that there's something more that we want, and that we want the Malchus Shemayim. And that's the shofar of the shofar gadol. And the idea, right, in Yismama Chakelo, the pasuk on which the 12th principle of Bias Mashiach, right, in Yismamea Chakelo. So the idea of Chake, Rav Weinberg emphasized the idea of Chake does not just mean waiting, and it doesn't mean expecting, right? Some people understand that the ikar, the principle of waiting for Mashiach, means you're expecting Mashiach to arrive at any minute. I expect that he's going to arrive now, or now, or now, or now. Rav Weinberg had several reasons why he said that's not a plausible, not a sustainable explanation. But the idea of chake means to anticipate, that at every moment I am looking forward to Mashiach coming, to look forward to something. So those people who see life as missing something, as missing something fundamental without the geula, without that completion, without that highest level of the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that geula will enable, so those people who are chakei, they're not comfortable in galus. They are excitedly anticipating, they're anxiously anticipating and looking forward to geula, so they will hear, they will respond to the shmia, to the hearing, to the sound of the shofar. That's the highest level, is that highest level of shofar, which works on the level of shmia, is the shofar gadol of the aisle, those who are bent, those who are kafuch. That's the shofar is the mitzvah min amufchar, which is the geula min amufchar, is the highest way in which the geula could come. The second level is the shofar of any behema tahora. It's not the aisle of the, it's not the shofar shall aisle. It doesn't harken back to the Akedah where you're completely mevatel yourself to the ratzon of Hashem. It's not necessarily kafuf. It's not necessarily bent. It's those who are, that shofar is the shofar which is blown for those who are not leaning into here. They're not being mevatel themselves, but they will still notice if it's put right in front of them. This is that they're on the level of the sanes, the banner which is put on the mountaintop, which gathers those who, they're complacent in where they are. They're not anxiously looking forward to the Gula. They're still doing mitzvos. They're still, you know, obeying Hashem in the way in which they are. But you know, it's in such a way that I fit Avodas Hashem into the life that I want to live in here in Galus. That there's, you know, I certain sense, you know, I view the mitzvos as something that I'm willing to cope with, willing to deal with as I you know, live my life. But I'm not yearning to transcend. I'm not yearning to reach beyond the life that I'm living now. Those are the people who see. They still have re'ia when it is clear. Then it's put in front of them. It's not through their own achievement. It's not through their own efforts they'll realize Geula. It's something which is going to be externally motivated. The sign has to be put in front of them as the clear, open nes, and then though it's the sa'nes, that when the banner is put there, the korach of re'iyah, that then they'll respond. We mentioned, and I said I would get back to this, and now I am getting back to it, so no one can accuse me of not keeping my promises. That we mentioned that the pasuk of about sa'nes says that the nace is, many people think that the nace, this banner, the sign, is to the Jewish people. The verse says, the pasuk says, Nasa nace lagoyim, v'kabetz nidachenu. That Hashem is going to raise a banner, raise a flag, a sign to the nations. So Hashem is the way this level of Geula works. Hashem gives the simon to the goyim, and then they allow us to go. It's still going to be our own departure, but it's assisted by the goyim. It's coming from outside of us. Once it comes from outside of us, when it comes from the external, outside of Klal Yisrael, so then once they're, you know, given that push, so then they'll go themselves. That's the level of the shofar of the Behemoth Torah. It's not the aisle of the Akedah. It's not kafuf. It's not bent. But it's still kosher b'diavad at the end of the day. If after Hashem says it's time to come home and puts it right in front of everyone, that they'll come home. So that's still it's still kosher. That's still a madrig of Geula. It's not the best. It's not the mitzvah min amuvchar. It's not the shofar shayil. It's not those who are listening, those who are looking out. But it's still a madrig of Geula. Then there is a third group. And the third group, the third level, is those who are so immersed in their surrounding culture. They're so assimilated and they are so at home in the Galus, in which they're meant to be a wanderer and a stranger, but they're so at home that those are the people who declared that Berlin is Yerushalayim, the people who said, you know, that we have no need to go back to Yerushalayim. This is Yerushalayim, this is our new home. This is basically saying, this is our ideal, this is what we want. We want to be here, and we don't want anything else. So those are the people who, even if... Sorry. Those are the people who, even when it's openly revealed that the time of Geula is here, they won't be moved. They'd rather be where they are. They don't view Avodas Hashem as something which, you know, not even as something which they're willing to cope with. They view it as a burden. They view it as something to be released from. It's a shackle. And those people, even when the Geula comes, they're so not interested in leaving their host country. They're so not interested in being identified as part of Klal Yisrael that even when it's openly revealed, that they won't be moved. And for them, for those people, we have the shofar of the Behemah Tameya. We have the shofar which belongs to the Amamim, which belongs to the nations of the world. You have the Amaleks of the world. You have the Hitlers of the world, who they come and they force us to recognize. They, against our will, they make us recognize that we're not at home. That for those people, we ask Hashem on the third level is v'kabetzenu. It's to gather us in. It's not to get us to come. We're asking Hashem to show them anything, to tell them anything. It's just to take them. Kabetzenu is to gather them, just to take us ba'al karchenu, against our will, against their will. That if they're not, if these people, they're not going to listen when the time of Geula comes, and they don't get the hint, and they don't get the message, and they won't accept the open the flag being raised, the call to gather everyone together, so those people of Akabatenu just don't do anything to try and convince them to come, just make them come, to take them against our will. So the Briska Rav famously said that if the Jews don't make Kiddush, the Goyim will make Havdalah. That if we don't elevate ourselves, if we don't distinguish ourselves and raise ourselves, then the nations of the world, then they'll remind us that we're different than them. That they'll make the separation and they'll show that we don't really belong there. So this shofar is the puzzle shofar. You only blow this shofar when nothing else is available, and you don't make a bracha on blowing this shofar. And Rav Kook says, in his own approach, borrowed his idea, he says, because ein mevarchen al min klala, that even though you have a halacha when you eat something which is for whatever reason is a degraded type of product, you have different kinds of things which were laka, ruined kind of produce, that when you eat them, you don't make a bracha on them, because you don't make a bracha on a min klala. You don't make a bracha on something which is really detrimental, which is really degraded, which is really a type of curse. Even though at the end of the day you're eating it and you're eating it for a reason, because you chose to eat it, you don't make a bracha on it because it's a min klala. So this level of geula, that's the geula which is, if there's nothing else, if there's nothing left at the end of the day, that Klal Yisrael is still Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not abandoning them, so if they're not willing to come on their own, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to force them to come, and that's the lowest level of Geula, is the Geula of the Kabbatzenu. They're not even holding by the level of Re'iyah. There's no sign, there's no message sent to them, it's just to take them. The Ramchal, the Ramchal, in Das Tmunos and Simen Mem, so he describes that he's part of a much longer discussion, but just to cherry pick one point out, the Ramchal there says that there are three ways that the Gilo Yichud can happen, that the purpose of the world, that Hashem created the world in such a way that He could have created it, that everything would be perfect from beginning to end, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to reveal the totality of His oneness, of His ultimate dominion, and the only way to do that was to first create a world in which there is a Shilton Hara, in which the forces of evil, the concept of evil, of chaos, has a degree of control, or looks like it is in control. And then when that is nisbatel, when that at the end, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals that He is the one who's in charge the whole time, then you see the omic, you see the depth of what it means to see that even when it looked like Hashem wasn't in control, that it revealed how ultimately He was in control of every detail. And that's the purpose of creation, and that's the purpose of having Ra in the world, of having dysfunction in the world, is to facilitate that ultimate revelation. And the Ramchal says that there are three ways in which that revelation can be brought about. The three levels of that revelation. The first, he says, is through Kiyum HaMitzvos. If we're keeping the mitzvos, he says, Ki Ba'orcha, Be'or Pnei Malachayim, that the mitzvos, that they cause, they bring about a degree of revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the more they do the mitzvos, the more that revelation is brought about, and that we, a person, or Klal Yisrael, can bring about that Giloy of Hashem through our own actions, through doing the mitzvos, that we bring it about through with, and that we, that if we do it that way, it happens, you know, when we bring it about. The Ita Achi Shena, that we could bring about the Geula before the appointed time, if we do it ourselves, if we cause the Giloy Yichud, if we cause that the more that we do the mitzvos, the more we bring that Ha'ara, the more Hashem reveals Himself. So we bring about that revelation. So that's the highest level of the way that that Gilo Yichud, that the Geula can be brought about, is a person doing it on his own. And then there's a second level, which is through His Oros LaTshuva Al Yedei Yisurim, that you have, that the person is aroused, is inspired to tshuva through Yisurim, through a certain degree of tribulations, of suffering, that it's an external motivation that brings to tshuva. That once the person is shown, once he's inspired externally, then they'll do teshuva and they'll make up for the chatayim that they did for the lack of keeping the mitzvos that they did. But they have this motivation that comes from outside of themselves, but at the end of the day, they still make their own decision. They're inspired by something outside of them, but once they're inspired, so they turn around on their own and they do the tshuva that they bring about, that gilo yichud, after they're inspired to do so, then they turn around and they do teshuva. And the third level, says the Ramchal, is through Kabbalah's own shamas, through the receiving the punishment, being punished, and thereby being cleansed of their chatayim, is they'll be unwilling participants. But sof, Hashem created the world with a purpose, and sof, Hashem has not let the Rishayim ruin the world. The fact that they have failed to redeem themselves is not going to prevent Hashem from his ultimate goal of creation, which is Gilo Yehudo. He's going to reveal himself. He's going to reveal himself whether they like it or not. And if the only way that that's going to happen is through this Bechema Shefucha Amloch Aleichem, that, you know, through this pouring out his wrath, that he's going to have to erase their chatayim, and through the painful experience of receiving the onesh, of receiving the full brunt of the consequences of what they did, and that's how we're going to erase their chatayim. The tamu chatayim in aretz, that will get the loachotim, that through that the sins are expunged from the world, not the sinners, but the sins themselves, and then that's the lowest level, the last ditch effort, sort of not a ditch effort, because, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a long shot, whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, it's going to work that way, but the last lowest rung, the final backup plan is that the Geula is going to come through, the person is going to suffer the consequences of what they did, Ba'al Karko, without any decision of his own, is going to be forced upon him that he's going to suffer the consequences of what he does, and that's going to lead to the Gilo Yichud for him, that ultimate revelation that he is included in part of in that final revelation, through not through his own decision, not through his own choice to be a willing participant, but that he's just going to suffer the consequences of his actions, because at the end of the day, Kadosh Baruch Hu was going to accomplish the purpose, the mission that he set out for the world to be. And so the three levels that the Ramchal is describing also line up very neatly with the three levels that we're talking about. We have the level of the Shofar Gadol, the level of Shmia, the level of those who are listening, those who are Kafuf, those who are trying to transcend. That's the level of those who, on their own, they're Mekayim the Mitzvos, they're faithful to the Torah, and they bring the Geula about. Achishena, that they bring, they speed it up, they bring it ahead of time, because it's not coming when Hashem, you know, has to bring it. They brought it on their own. They through their own inspiration, through their own accomplishment, that they caused the Geula to come. That's the level of those who are listening, those who are able to transcend the Shofar Gadol, those who are Kafuf, those who are bent or mevatel themselves to Ratzon Hashem. They bring about that Gila Yichud, they bring it about on their own, even before the time when it's reached its appointed time. And then we have the Sanes, the Kabetz, the people that you do a sign for them, that it might take that the Goyim have to give them the hint that it's time to go. It might take that there are Yisurim involved. But once you give them the Yisurim, once you show them the nace, you show them the sign, you give them the kick, to kickstart them, to get them thinking, but then they'll, once the inspiration comes from outside of them, then they will pick it up and they will do teshuva and they will turn themselves around, and they on their own at that point will take it from there and make up for it, and they will return, and they'll be on that level of the Geula. That's the Geula of the Sa'anis, of the level of Re'iyah, that they need something external from themselves to show them, but after it's shown to them, so then that they'll take it the rest of the way, they'll do the teshuva that's necessary. And then the final stage is the Kabetzenu, is those who aren't going to take the hint, no matter how explicit, even the trying to inspire them externally isn't going to work for them. There's the Kabetzenu, there's the just taking them, it's forcing it upon them, that whether you like it or not, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to Megala himself, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the Geula and bring the world to its purpose, whether you want to be a willing participant or an unwilling participant. And that's the last level, the level of Kabbalah Sa'onish, that those people, that they receive that they suffer the consequences of their action, And that happens against their will. That happens whether they like it or not. That's the shofar puzzle. The shofar, which is that's not the shofar that you want. That's the shofar that you only blow when there's nothing, when you have nothing else. It's if you're left with no other option, then you go this way. But this isn't the way that you want it to happen. This is the way that's the most painful. This is the way you don't make a bracha on this. This is the way which is suffering the consequences of the wrong decisions and of failing to turn it around when you're shown. That's the lowest level of geula, the geula of the shofar puzzle, the geula of the kabbatzin, or of gather us whether we like it or not, the final and lowest level of geula. So the three stages of our bracha is the tekan b'shofar, blowing the shofar, is the shofar double, is the shofar shel ayil, is the level of shemiya, the highest level of geula, and then you have the the sanes, the shofar pashat. It's they're not bent, but at least there's still a kosher shofar. It's still going to, it takes external motivation, but once you've given them the push, that they'll turn around and do it themselves. That's the koach of re'iyah. And then the kabbatzenu, that's okay, so they're not going to have a part in it, but they're still going to, whether they like it or not, they're being brought back to Eretz Yisrael, they're being included in the geula. That's the lowest level of kabbatzenu of the shofar puzzle. Next week, I want to, we'll talk about next week in a minute, but the next time we meet, there's something that I omitted from our first mahalik, which I didn't want to put in at the beginning and interrupt. Our second mahalik is very different, but in the next week I'll try and just rehash it really quickly, just to add one point that I believe I was remiss in leaving off of the first mahalik. So we'll try and at the beginning next week.
Ultimately, all three groups they're all participants. If I try to draw an analogy to Yetzias Mitzrayim, I mean, there are different people presumably who are at different stages then, but it seems as though most of the Jews from Mitzrayim didn't make it out.
Right, Hamushim. Right, so there's a lot of discussion that there are some sources that say that actually say what you're saying, that the Geula Hasida is going to parallel Geulas Mitzrayim, and there's only going to be, you know, some who make it to the Geula. But there are others who say that it was Dafka, specifically in Mitzrayim, when the Geula, before they had the Torah, before Klal Yisrael was included in the Bris of the Torah, that they were unredeemable. To talk about that, discuss that, that Weinberg discussed this, that the Midrashim say that they were on the 49th level of Tumah, and the Kaddish Baruch Hu had to be Megala, begoal them, Keharif Ayin, to redeem them, and specifically that instant, if they would have remained an instant longer, they would have gone to the 50th level of Tumah, from which they would have been unredeemable. Weinberg said that whatever sources he discussed, and however he attempted to prove it, he says that later in history, we find that Klal Yisrael did sink to the 50th level of Tumah. They sunk to the lowest levels possible, and yet they were still savable. He says the difference was that after they left Mitzrayim, they got the Torah. And once they had the Torah, and it was Chaye Olam Nata B'Sochenu, that the Torah is connected into our being, so the Torah, through our connection to the Torah, then no matter how low you sink, you have the ability to climb back up. There's a bris, there's an inviolable relationship that we have with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, that even those who are on the lowest level, that they're going to be included. Now, notwithstanding, there is a discussion about people who have absolutely no schuyos. Someone who's absolutely devoid of schuyos, the Ramchal talks about, that you have, with even within Geula, you have some people who are, you know, tzaddikim gemurim. You have some people who they have, you know, more merits than demerits, but, you know, still they have a good amount of demerits. Then you have some people who they really don't have so much going for them, but they still have mitzvos that they've done, and the Ramchal talks about the connection that they have to Klal Yisrael, and that there are other people who are so far gone that they have absolutely no connection, and those people who they've cut themselves off, so talk about maybe those people, maybe they could be compared to the Chamushim of Mitzrayim, possibly, that there is such a thing as someone who is so totally devoid of merits that he has it's not a punishment. There's just nothing that he's done. There's nothing to work with to try and, you know, Geula at the end of the day is what you, it has to do at some point with what you accomplished, with the relationship that you made, even if you have a number of the averos that have to be accounted for, but there has to be something there with some positive aspect of relationship that you built with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, which could be accessed. And if they have nothing, so then there's just nothing to work with. All right.